I want to invite you to take your Bible and stand. I've got a real long message, so you need to stretch your legs. I'm kidding. 1 Kings chapter 18. We've been preaching a series of messages on the God we sometimes forget. Most of you grew up in church. I didn't. But if you grew up in church, you had a lot of teaching about God. If you grew up in church, you had a lot of teaching about Jesus Christ. If you grew up in church, you probably didn't have a lot of teaching about the Holy Spirit. And I want you to know the Holy Spirit is just as much God as Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is just as much God as God. The Holy Spirit is so important. He's a person. He has a mind. He has a will. He has the emotions. He's God. So I want to invite you to look at 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 37 and 38. This is what it says. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and thou hast turned their heart back again. And the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice. Let me say this, folks. Many things in the Bible symbolizes the Holy Spirit. Oil symbolizes the Holy Spirit. Water symbolizes the Holy Spirit. And fire symbolizes the Holy Spirit. And the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. There's a scripture in John chapter 16, verses 7 and 8. This is what it says. Jesus said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you. Now get this. It is expedient for you. That means it's necessary for you. It's necessary for me. Not necessary for him. Get that. It is expedient for you. It's necessary for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I'll send him unto you. And when he's a person, not a force, not enthusiasm, not energy. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Jesus Christ was here on earth. 250 million people here. But he can only be in one place at one time. And Jesus said, it's necessary for you that I go away. Because when I go away, the Holy Spirit's going to come. And I could just be at one place at one time. But the Holy Spirit can be with all 6.5 billion people that are on earth at this time. The Holy Spirit can be everywhere. And he said, that's why it's so necessary that I go away. And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came. And we desperately, ladies and gentlemen, we desperately need the Holy Spirit. Most churches could have the Holy Spirit not to show up. And 95% of churches would not have to change a thing. But we need the Holy Spirit. Now let me talk to you some quick reasons why we need the Holy Spirit. First of all, we need the Holy Spirit for assurance. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, how do you know that you've came to faith in Jesus Christ? Romans 8 and 16 says this. It says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's not talking about your spirit and Bob's spirit hooking up. It's talking about the Holy Spirit hooking up with your spirit. It's talking about that is the assurance that we're saved. One of the ways we know, ladies and gentlemen, is the Holy Spirit comes into our lives. We need the Holy Spirit because that's the assurance of our salvation. Let me tell you something else. We need the Holy Spirit not only for assurance, but we need the Holy Spirit for direction. I wouldn't offend you. I'm not offending your intelligence. But if you've got more degrees than a thermometer, It matters not how academic you are. You're not wise enough to direct your life. I'm not wise enough to direct my life. I need the Holy Spirit to direct me. I need the Holy Spirit to lead me. I'm faced with decisions, and you are too, when we don't know what to do. We don't know which decision to make, and we'll run to somebody else. But ladies and gentlemen, the greatest counselor in the world is inside you if you know the Lord. I don't want to offend you. I don't want to offend you, but I want you to understand something. God's in heaven. He's on the throne. Jesus is at his right hand. I don't want to offend you, but they're not here. God's agent on earth is the Holy Spirit. God's agent on earth is the Holy Spirit. So you tell me we don't need the Holy Spirit? He's the one here. He's the one that's here with us. So we need his direction. You need his direction more than you need anything else. More than you need to lean to anything else, you need to lean to him. You need to simply say, Holy Spirit, I don't know what to do. Lead me. A man was in an airport. The weather started getting real bad, and he began to look out the windows and thought, I've got apprehension about getting on this plane. And he began to just walk around, and he came up on a machine. It was an insurance machine. And it said, $100,000 worth of life insurance for $3. Well, he looked out the window and he thought, perhaps I need to. So he purchased it. He said, I need to eat a little something. So he goes down to the Chinese restaurant, gets him a little something to eat. He's finishing up his meal and he opens his fortune cookie. And his fortune cookie said, your recent investment will pay big dividends. Folks, God doesn't want us to be led by fortune cookies. God wants us to be led by the Holy Spirit. And see, here's where we miss it. We think, well, now I'm going to depend on the Holy Spirit because I'm planning on changing jobs. Or I'm going to depend on the Holy Spirit because I don't know which career path that God wants to take me in. I want you to know something, folks. The Holy Spirit wants to direct every aspect, sir, of your life. I'm in the hospital yesterday, and there was a young lady in our church, and she had had surgery and around her ribs, and they had cut her back, a large incision on her back. And I walked in and she was sitting in a chair. And I said, how are you doing? She said, well, I'm doing okay. But she said, I've got to go home. And she said, when I go home, I'll be in the bed. And she said, with this incision, when I raise up, it hurts real bad. She said, I wish I had a recliner. And I said, well, let's pray. And I prayed. And the Holy Spirit said, you've got a recliner. And I said, but Holy Spirit. I said, but Holy Spirit, that's my orange Tennessee recliner. I'm preaching, be quiet. Anyway, I said, Holy Spirit, that's my orange Tennessee recliner. So I go on and all through the day. You've been there, folks. You've been there. The Holy Spirit kept saying, you've got a recliner. And I changed the conversation. All through the day. And finally, I said, I know what's going to happen. That man's a good man. He's probably going to go get a recliner today. He's probably going to go get one. And so I give him time to get home, and later in the evening I call and I said, how's your wife doing? Did you do pretty? Yes. I didn't want to come out and say, did you get her? And I said, how's she doing? He said, oh, she's got her legs propped up. I said, that's good. She's doing better. And he said, yes, Pastor Benny, we've got a stool. I thought, well, why didn't you get a recliner? And last night, about 9 o'clock, I said, Barbara, I need you to take a trip. She said, where are we going? I said, to deliver an orange recliner. Now listen, I'm just trying to get you this message. This is all I want you to see. The Holy Spirit wants to direct our lives, folks. The Holy Spirit wants to give us direction, not only for the big things. He wants to give us direction for the orange recliners. If it'd been a red one, I would have given it to her. Let me tell you something. But it's an orange one, and I want it back in 6 weeks. Bless God. Do you realize, folks, we need the Holy Spirit for assurance. We need the Holy Spirit for direction. Do you realize this? We need the Holy Spirit to understand the Bible. Look, listen to what 1 Corinthians 2 and 14 says. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. I was preaching in a church after the service was over. A gentleman said, I need to talk with you privately. I said, yes, sir. He said, what you preached tonight was not true. I said, it wasn't. What did I preach that wasn't true? He said, you talked about that 1,000-year reign. I talked about eschatology. I talked about the end times. I talked about the rapture. I talked about there will be a 1,000-year millennial reign. And he said, that's not true. I said, friend, what's not true about it? He said, well, in Noah's day, it rained 40 days and 40 nights. If it rained 1,000 years, it would flood everything out. I took a hard look into his eyes. The wheel was turning, but the hamster was dead. Let me tell you something, folks. This book, you can't understand just because you graduated from Harvard. That's not enough. No, it's a spiritually discerned book. Let me tell you something else. We need the Holy Spirit for victory over the things that pull us down. I want you to know something, folks. You can't get victory over those temptations. You can't get victory over those vices. You can't get victory over those lusts. You can't get victory over those strongholds leaning on your own. You can't. You say, why do you know? Because I've tried. Victory only comes through being filled with God's Spirit. It only comes through that. D.L. Moody was the Billy Graham of his day. But D.L. Moody had a problem. He was on a balanced diet. A balanced diet for D.L. Moody was a hamburger in each hand. D.L. Moody was pretty heavy. And one day he went to Britain to meet the great preacher, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Spurgeon was a great preacher, but Spurgeon had a problem. He liked a cigar and he liked a pipe. Spurgeon comes to the door. D.L. knocks on the door, their first meeting. And D.L. Moody says to Spurgeon, I can't believe a man of God smoking a pipe. And Charles Spurgeon just takes that pipe and rams it in Moody's belly and pushes 2 or 3 times. Now, I don't know what it is, folks, but this is what I know. I don't know what it is in your life. I know what it is in mine. But I know Romans 8 and 13 says, if you live after the flesh, you'll die. Well, how do we overcome this flesh? But if you through the Spirit do mortify. Mortify means to deaden. Ladies and gentlemen, we can't overcome the strongholds of this life on our own. We need the Holy Spirit inside us. It's not mystical. It's not out there. We need the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit is mentioned 100 times in the Old Testament and 250 times in the New Testament, yet we don't talk about Him in church. 100 times in the Old Testament, 250 times in the New Testament, yet we don't talk about Him in church. Because we've missed it. Most churches are a cemetery or a mental asylum. And we don't talk about the Holy Spirit because we don't want our church to become a mental asylum. But ladies and gentlemen, we desperately need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit because of qualities in our relationships. Let me tell you something. It's human nature to look out for number one. It's human nature to look out for number one. But listen, when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, listen to what Galatians 5 and 22 and 23 says. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. How many need to say, I'd like some love, joy, and peace for my husband. I'd like some love, joy, and peace for my wife. I'd like some self-control out of my husband. I'd like some gentleness out of my husband. I'd like some goodness out of my wife. Folks, that didn't come because you're a Tate or a Jones or a whatever. It comes through the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you lastly, we need the Holy Spirit to witness properly. We need the Holy Spirit to witness properly. I want you to see something. I want you to understand this, and I'm almost done. See, there's a difference in receiving the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Who was the book of Ephesians written to? Go there, team, go there. Ephesians 1 and 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the pagans. Oh, no, no. To the saints which are at Ephesus and to the unfaithful. No, to the faithful saints. Well, what did he say to these faithful saints? Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine when it's excess, but be filled with the Spirit. When they chose the first deacons, did you ever think about when they chose? There were thousands of Christians at this time. Remember, 3,000 got saved on Pentecost. But when they chose the first deacons, they said, you got to find 7 men. Well, what needs to be unique about these men? That they're full of the Holy Ghost. So that tells me they were men there who weren't. So you got to find men that are. On Saturday nights, we gather here and pray. And last night, I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. But I said, Holy Spirit, thank you. Because Holy Spirit, when I was 16 years old and from the wrong side of the tracks, we put the funk in dysfunctional as a family. I would go to church with my sister and the Holy Spirit would deal with my heart to come down and give my life to Christ, and I'd say no. And I thanked Him last night. I said, Holy Spirit, thank you for not giving up on me. Think about this. The Bible says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. He could have dealt with me one time and said, I'm fulfilled. I've done what I said I'd do. The Holy Spirit could have dealt with me one time and said, it's over. I've given Him opportunity. But I'm glad He didn't, folks. I'm glad He continued. See, folks, we desperately need the Holy Spirit It's the Holy Spirit that draws people. Jim Cimbala is one of my heroes. I close with a story. I know some of you are melancholic and analytical. You say, well, you didn't finish the outline. If you'll come up and give me $20 after the service, I'll fill in the blanks. Jim Cimbala tells a story about a man, Fernando Aranda. He gets to come to his church and give his testimony. Fernando said when he was 8 years old, he was sniffing glue and in a gang. Our musicians are coming. He said, I spent 3 years in a boys' reformatory. He said, when I was 11, I was arrested for hitting a man over the head with a crowbar. I went into the Marines. I was kicked out. I married a woman. She and I got into it, and she shot me and messed up my hand. I got into using, selling drugs, bad. A friend and I robbed a bank, $250,000, kidnapped the president. Eventually was caught, given 25 years in prison. He said, while I was in prison, I was a part of three inmates being killed, and I was put in solitary confinement. He said, my mother came to see me. She was in her 70s. He said, my mother started crying and said, I don't want to die seeing you like this. He said, I went back to that cell and I said to the Lord, Lord, if you get me out of this hellhole, I'll live for you. He said, about a year later, it was amazing. I'd been there 12 years. About a year later, I was released. I got on a Greyhound, and they dropped me back home in California at this depot. He said, when I got off, there was a man by the name Robert who I knew was a drug dealer. Satan knows where to plant people. He said, right there he was. He was a drug dealer. And he said, we went on a 3-day drug binge. He said, after 3 days, Robert said to me, we're going to go down to the ocean, down on the beach. We can get some more drugs down there. He said, Robert and I were walking down there. And he said, Robert said to me, this place is surrounded by cops. This place is surrounded by cops. And he said, I saw a group of people there in the beach. He said, I wasn't for sure what they were doing, but he said, I got in that group of people that was there. They seemed happy there at the beach. And I asked one lady, I said, ma'am, who are you all with? She said, Victory Outreach Ministries. And he said, about that time, there was a man who walked up, big muscles, similar to me. He said he looked like the Marlboro man. And that man said to me, hey, brother, don't you remember what you told God in that prison? That if he lets you out of that hellhole, you'd live the rest of your life for him? And he said, how did he know what I'd said a year before? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And then he pointed his big finger at me and said, you know what you have to do. And he said, I fell down on my knees and asked the Lord to forgive me. He said, when I came up from praying, there was a sister in that church who said, we've got a home for men. I want you to go in it. And he said, I went in it and I stayed for 6 weeks. Now he travels and gives his testimony and he sings. And he sings this song. He's real in my soul. My God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. His love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, and I can feel him in my soul. Ladies and gentlemen, it was the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that's drawing people today. It's the Holy Spirit that's dealing with your soul. It's the Holy Spirit that can give you victory today over whatever's pulling you down. It's the Holy Spirit. He's brought you here today for such a time as this. And God can take what seems so bad, just like he did with Fernando, and he can turn it around and make it good.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer, you repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.